escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Here's what's going to happen. I am going to have to fix you, manage you to, on a more personal scale, a more micro form of management. What is that called?
Micromanagement.
Boom. Yes.
It's Mike Shope.
What is your name, sir?
I am Bill Buttlicker.
And the Bulldog.
Really, that's your real name? How dare you? My family built this country, by the way.
It's Mike Shope.
The three words I would describe you as is aggressive,
yes.
Hostile, and definitely difficult.
And the Bulldog.
Well, I like the sound of your voice.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, rocking our way through a Friday afternoon here in the summertime. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is away today. Zach Jones alongside. G running the video feed as always. And joining us right now on the West Her Hotline is long time. I'm going to go with long time. Matt, I'm sorry if that makes you feel old. I turned 60 last week, so I'm going to call you long time Bills beat reporter for Syracuse.com and co-host of the Shout podcast. How's things, Matt? How's summer? How's baseball?
Things are great, and I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, I'm going into, I think this is year eight on the beat, right? So a long time, especially with some of the turnover in that time. I've had a lot of different colleagues on a beat that doesn't turn over very much, which is interesting enough. Good. I mean, the summer is beautiful. We're getting some 90-degree weather this weekend. Baseball tournaments galore, so it's one of my favorite times of year, and we're, oh, by the way, look up in less than 2 weeks
right.
In training camp, so...
Does that all get wrapped up for you before you have to be at St. John Fisher every day, or is it time where you start missing stuff?
I'll probably have to miss one or two games that last weekend of July, and then we don't do one. A lot of teams are starting to kind of push it into August a little bit. We don't. Eventually we might, and, you know, that's just part of the gig, right? Like,
right.
You're going to miss some stuff. But I get so much of it all summer long that, you know, I don't even feel bad about it.
There was one year when we were never playing, like where we were traveling around and everything, but just at Hurdle North Park youth baseball there at Shoshone, and we got pushed into like almost Labor Day weekend one year. I was just like, what are we even doing here, people? And it's weather related, but it's still like, yeah, we could just cancel it. Whatever, it was $40. I don't need to be playing youth baseball games, you know, in September. What are we doing? Insanity.
You say that because Sal's obviously over at North Buffalo,
yep.
And we compare notes all the time. And our house league wraps up, the playoffs are done the last week of June. And he was telling me last year, like the middle of August, they were just playing their championship games. I'm like, dude, if I still had house going on top of all this travel stuff, it's too much.
Yep. Matt Perino, our guest here, co-host of the Shout podcast, Bills beat for Syracuse.com. Before we get to the football team, who, you know, we're closing in on it, right? Just a couple of weeks away, they'll be on the field here, less than that, actually, right? It was 2 weeks from Wednesday, I think, Have I got the dates right, or am I? No,
yeah,
that's
you're right.
Right. Okay.
We're about 11 days now.
You did contribute to the substantial amount of replies to my question about who lit the fuse for you in sports. And so you're one of these kids that grew up around here and your family loved the Yankees, or did you find yourself to them on your own?
I was born into the Yankees fandom, yeah. For sure. My grandfather, my uncle, my dad. And that era, I mean, I was born in 82, so by the time I could really understand what was going on, I mean, I just would do anything for a Don Mattingly baseball card. I mean, that was the guy in that era, and that was like kind of like, and then obviously that gave way to like Jeter and Bernie Williams and Paul O'Neill and all that, Mariano Rivera. So I lived like the golden age of Yankees baseball there for a few years. But Mattingly was just the first guy I remember as like, you know, on my favorite team, the guy. Obviously, it was weird because growing up around here, my family was big-time Bills fans as well. But my earliest memories are of the Yankees. My earliest memory of the Bills was probably when Don Beebe fell on his head against Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the big moment where kind of things took off. And Thurman Thomas was always my favorite Bills player. So like that, he was probably in that category as well. But we were really a baseball family, like in my early days, especially because I played baseball, I didn't play football, and so Mattingly was it for me.
Yeah, awesome. Well, speaking of Thurman Thomas, how about the Bills' current situation at running back, Matt? How do you think? What do you think is most likely, a contract extension, and everybody is happy and holding hands, or do you think that they push it and he plays out the year? Because I think either way he's going to be here. It's just a question of whether or not they'll keep him beyond this season, which of course they could still do after next year. But do you think they get a contract done with him, or do you think that they will let it play out?
So I'll first say I think the most likely way that a contract gets done is that it happens in the off season next year. Like, I don't think it's going to necessarily get done before this season starts, only because I think that they're so far apart on what both sides want, and nothing has changed since January when James Cook made his demands known, and you know they got all these other contracts done, and this one kind of continues to linger out there. And we heard from James a couple weeks ago that like he's planning to go to training camp. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of leverage, because really, if you look at all the position groups, right, like wide receiver, edge rusher, quarterback, cornerback, even a lot of these guys get one big contract extension and then usually another big one into their either late 20s or early 30s. Whereas running backs, a lot of them have to really cash in on that big first contract. They're probably not going to get a big second one. Like a lot right. of them that we've seen, I don't have specific examples, but like you sign that 3 or 4 year big money extension, whatever it is. I mean, Josh Jacobs is a good recent example. And then the next year, usually next deal is either like a 2 year deal. Like Derrick Henry's been signing a lot of these kind of deals. Mm-hmm. Where he's been drastically under what the market's been. I mean, even Saquon Barkley set the market. I mean, Henry comes in quite a bit under that, even despite what he's consistently been able to do. So I think Cook is dug in because he wants to get his money, because you might only get one big bite of the apple like his brother Dalvin did. And I think he's probably driving the bus a little bit here too. And I think for the Bills, like there's value in going into a Super Bowl contending year with one of your most important weapons in a contract year. There's value in that, because on the other end of it, even if he goes somewhere else and signs, you're probably going to get a comp pick back, and maybe you were never going to meet the number that he ultimately will get. Or they, like I said in the scenario at the beginning, they get to the offseason next year and it's a Matt Milano type situation. Everybody was saying he was as good as gone.
Yeah.
No way the Bills were going to be able to get him back for less than $16-17 million per season. He signs with the Bills for $12 million. Whether or not that had anything to do with his market or just that he wanted to stay in Buffalo, that's another thing. What if James Cook gets to it and it's a $2-3 million difference per season, but then he could stay in Buffalo and still play with Josh Allen in this offense, and maybe at that point he's more comfortable with it? But I don't see anything happening over the next couple of weeks. I'm never saying never, right? Because mm-hmm. we've seen that right. happen before a season starts. But my anticipation is he shows up, it becomes less of a storyline, like once the Hard Knocks episode comes out, the first one, and you know, you kind of see behind the curtains and his interactions with all the players and the coaches, and then we kind of business as normal the rest of the summer.
How much of a risk, if at all, Matt, do you think the Bills are running? If, because I'm not optimistic about next year either myself right now, but I mean, who knows? It's a year away. Anything could happen still. But I don't think anything's happening now. And do you think the Bills are risking anything by leaving him going into the final year of his deal, like with his teammates, with him himself, like you're around the team? It's a tough question because the Bills have had such a smooth trip here, really. There's been very little. There was the Poyer thing a couple years ago, but even that sort of went away before it even got really fiery. Do you think there's any risk for the team in handling Cook the way they have?
I don't think so, only because of how consistent they've been with rewarding guys, and their MO is very clear. Like, if they want guys that are going to be around, and if they think they can get value elsewhere or more money elsewhere, the Bills are okay with that. I mean, look at Tremaine Edmonds. I mean, Poyer's a great example of, hey, we love you, we want you part of this situation, but if you think you can get more money, then we're able to pay. That's the thing, too. Not enough of this is positioned around the Bills' financial situation, which is you can only spend so much money at premium positions, and look at all the big premium positions. Cornerback one, big contract extension. Both tackles, big contract extension. Top defensive edge rusher, contract extension. And oh, by the way, they spent in free agency on their defensive line. Quarterbacks making the most money in the league now, guaranteed money. The salary cap is, it's a movable line. But when you're paying that much, you have to make some hard decisions in position groups where maybe you can't go out and get the next James Cook in the draft next year, especially in year one. I mean, James Cook, it took him a while to really become what he's been. But it's the position where I think you can get the most production from a rookie player. Not only that, they drafted Ray Davis last year in anticipation of this situation. They're much higher on Davis in the building than I think even the most bullish Bills fans are. Like, if they woke up tomorrow morning and James Cook, for whatever reason, decided he wasn't going to play football anymore, I think the Bills would be confident in a Ray Davis, Ty Johnson backfield. Would it be as explosive? Would they have one of their top weapons? No, they'd probably have to reimagine things a little bit, get creative with who they would add. But I think they like Ray Davis, and I actually want to see a little bit more Ray Davis, even with Cook on the roster. I think some of those red zone carries, I think getting him more involved, Davis, in the passing game is something that I'm looking for the Bills to really implement this year.
I think it would make sense for them to be motivated to do that because of, barring, again, a contract extension for Cook this summer, which both of us agree, I don't think it's very likely. Obviously, it could happen. Never say never, like you said a minute ago. But I think you might want to, try out the Davis thing a little bit more and see if you're, because that'll help decide what you're going to do to replace Cook if it comes to it that he is leaving the team. Do I have to put a big asset on that in the draft? Do I have to sign someone in free agency to supplement my backfield? Or are we comfortable going in with, say, Ray Davis sort of taking over the 45% snap share that James Cook has had?
Yeah, and I think, they don't like to put too much on rookies in year one as it is. And when you have an established starter like James Cook, I'm not surprised that we went through big stretches of the season last year and Davis wasn't as involved as maybe you might have wanted to have him because of anticipating this situation. Brandon's really good about pivoting out of these kinds of situations. I mean, Stephon Diggs is the most recent example. But in that, you have to, if you don't have that skill set in the building, you've got to find a way to get it and get it fast. I think Ray Davis, like, he's not as elusive necessarily as James Cook. I mean, James Cook has a rare ability in space to make guys miss. But what Davis doesn't have in that department, I think he more than makes up for in his urgency with the ball in his hands. Like, that to me is one of the things I saw from James Cook last year take even another step forward, was just his urgency as a runner. I go back to Marshawn Lynch early in his career with the Bills. I always was frustrated as a fan at that point watching him run, because when he decided to be urgent, he was just so hard to deal with. We saw him almost really evolve into that with the Seahawks. I mean, that big run, that highlight run, that really came because of how quickly he got on the defense and put pressure on them. And I saw a little bit of a jump in that department from Cook last year. I think Davis has that in his game naturally. Like, that's just how he operates. There's just, like, I don't want to say a panic, but there's an immediate determination to get at a defense at all three levels. And I think that they like that about him. And Ty Johnson is that perfect complementary piece to all of it. I think that's what made this offense so good. I mean, the more you look at this thing, 30,000-foot view, and we all have our conversations about the wide receivers and maybe, like, not the talent level of some of these other teams across the league without a bona fide number one. Well, when you have a deep running back room that's also heavily involved in the passing game, that's where I think this offense really stands out.
Matt Perino, Syracuse.com on the Bills beat, also co-host of the Outstanding Shout podcast on the West Hur Hotline with us for a few more minutes here on WGR. You mentioned the receiver room, Matt, so let's shift over there. Coleman, I want to include Kincaid in this conversation, of course, even though he's a tight end. As far as pass catchers go, I think we can bank on Shakir. I don't know. Maybe you think there's more growth there. We'll see. I don't know that I'd want to bet on it, but it certainly could happen. But I like him even as is. Like, if all I get from him is what I got last year, it really then depends on what kind of growth I get from guys like Kincaid and Coleman and free agent signing Palmer. But on Kincaid or Coleman, like, if you had to pick one of them to sort of break out this coming season, which one would you land on?
So I think I'm probably the most bullish on Keon Coleman among local media members based on my conversations with folks. With that said, though, I think this is going to be the Dalton Kincaid season, because I think there's way too much stock piled in that building in Kincaid from Brandon Bean, McDermott to a degree, but Josh Allen more than anybody. Like, if you go back to the beginning of the offseason, like when we started talking about that Kansas City game and everything that happened with Dalton, and Josh Allen quickly kind of piped up, like, listen, the guy played injured all year.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
They have to be better for him, almost putting his struggles in year two on himself. And I think there's some merit to that. I mean, if you go back and watch a lot of the games last season in some of the big moments, it never felt like those two guys were on the same page.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time talking to Dalton Kincaid with availability this last couple months. And the big thing for me is how serious he's taking it and how much he's determined to make that connection really work with Josh Allen. They've gotten together a couple times this offseason. I think they were scheduled for another session in this gap between minicamp and training camp. And that, to me, Joe Brady, when he took over, right, he had that full offseason where we all talked about, well, he got thrown into the mix his first season, and this is going to be the time where he can sit back and really come up with a plan. The problem with that idea at the time was he had to come up with a plan for the offense with a complete new identity without Stephon Diggs, right? He had a lot of mouths to feed, and I think in that way is why Everybody Eats was born. They had to figure out who they were and what they were going to be. Now Joe Brady really has the reins of this thing, and he knows Dalton Kincaid inside the building needs to be a guy. If not the guy, one of the top guys. And I think that they're going to find a way not only to deploy him in 11, which is where he's had the most success, but to finally maybe figure out this 12 personnel conundrum when they can get Kincaid and Knox on the field and maybe even a couple of different looks with Jackson Hawes, the rookie, on the field with either both of them or one of them in another 12 personnel package. They barely ran 13 last year with three tight ends and a back. I think that's something that with the way that they run the ball, wouldn't that put a lot of pressure on teams when you have those three guys on the field? Now, I know Kincaid's blocking is an issue, but with those three guys on the field, it almost becomes like a 12 personnel package because you can use Kincaid in the role you drafted him to be,
right,
which is primarily a pass catcher.
Yeah, I almost wonder, and I think this got said by plenty of people who follow the team closely, Matt, that the Hawes pick could be an indication that they maybe won't use Alec Anderson as much. Like it's a sort of mix and match, and it's heavy, but it's not as heavy as having a sixth O-lineman out there. But it could, if it gets you, you know, a team fearing the run, expecting the run, and you've got Kincaid as a part of it, maybe there's an edge there.
Yeah, definitely. I still think they want Alec Anderson in the mix, and I think he'll probably start the season. You know, rookie tight end, there's a lot on his plate. He's going to be in a lot of different meeting rooms. They're going to be asking him to learn a lot of things, but he's definitely going to be a piece of it. Here's the other thing that they're guarding against. They've had two seasons now where their offensive line has been intact for almost the entire season, and they haven't had to deal with any injury. And the problem is Alec Anderson is so good in that role. He's their number one interior offensive line backup. So if one of these guys goes down, is Cedric Van Pran Granger ready for a larger role? Can Tylan Grable, who might actually be the left guard of the future, I know he's the swing tackle right now, but there's a lot of people that think that he can project as the replacement for David Edwards when he finally decides to either move on or retire. I think you like both of those options. The problem is Alec Anderson might be better than both. And so if you pull him out of the jumbo role, what are you going to do in that scenario? I think throwing that onto another offensive lineman that maybe hasn't had the kind of practice time. And the other part of this thing is, too, is Alec Anderson played all last season. He didn't have a single target. You know, I think that when Jackson Hawes is on the field in that kind of package, now you have a real problem with defending both the pass game and the run game. And I think Joe Brady can get a little creative with how he runs those things.
Matt, before you go, let's talk a little bit about the defense. I mean, so much of their draft capital and free agent signings were focused on the defense. I think anyone can understand why that was such a focus for them. Where do you think the biggest questions lie there? Is it at number two corner, obviously, the back end with Bishop needing to step up? Where do you see the potential, I don't want to say holes necessarily, but, you know, areas of most concern, I guess.
Cornerback two is the greatest unknown, I think, because I think no matter what, my concern is pretty high at safety because of Taylor Rapp's, you know, inability to stay healthy. If he goes down, what does that whole situation looks like? That's definitely a concern. But at cornerback two, I know you have Benford over there, but we've seen in the past, like, if you're not having the kind of level play that you need at that second spot, it could be a problem. And I don't know if Hairston is going to be able to make the kind of run. I think he definitely can, but we've also seen in the past where, you know, first-round draft picks haven't been able to secure that job. And they brought in Tre'Davious White and Dane Jackson for a reason. I mean, they do tend to lean back on that position on guys that they know that have played in the system. I mean, Josh Norman it felt like he was here till he was 45. Even in practice squad roles, right? Because they know that he started in this defense before. You could throw him out there. Where's Tre'Davious White at? I've said this multiple times. I think that what we're going to see over the next month and a half is probably the best version left of Tre'Davious White. How good that player is at this stage, we'll learn it. We'll see it. And even if it's just average level, I still think that they might think that's safer bet to start the season than Maxwell Hairston. The thing that they have to have percolated in the back of their mind is, how much did the way they approached Kyer Elam's rookie season with having them kind of split snaps and, you know, the all the different, like, dangling the carrot and all these different ways, how much did that play into his eventual outcome? You know, I go back to Cody Ford years ago, one of their first drafts, and there was a lot of hype about him as a high second-round pick. And he comes in here, and I'll never forget, everybody's, you know, they said he was a tackle, like, exclamation point. You get to camp, and we get through camp, and they're splitting time with him and Ty Inseki. And Ty Inseki was a fine player, but he would definitely have seen better days. And it just felt like at that stage, especially, they needed to give the job to the kid and let him kind of figure things out on the fly. I always felt that Elam could have probably benefited from that as well. So when you get to the end of this, is Tre'Davious White playing at a high enough level where he's just definitively better than Hairston, or are you willing to just bet on the young player eventually figuring it out because of the potential upside, and the more reps that he gets from the jump, the better off you are? We'll watch that play out over the next couple of weeks, and I think they spent the draft pick on Hairston, specifically him, all the traits, like, he's a zone corner in college. He has this unbelievable speed. Like, he fits what they want to do, especially opposite of a borderline all-pro in Christian Benford. I think he's got to win this job, but I'm very concerned about cornerback two, most so on the defense. We could probably have another segment on Bishop, but I just think corner is just a little more important.
Well, I wonder, real quick, I'll just squeeze this in. I wonder if Bishop and, you know, him never having been a starter before plays into, like, would you want inexperience at corner two with Bishop inexperience too, or do you feel more comfortable with White there, even if he's, you know, whatever percentage of his former all-pro self, just because there's more comfort and I'm not too young, you know? Like, I wonder how much that'll play into it.
Right, and I also think that, I don't think anybody would ever admit this, but there's also the element with Trey where there's the emotional side of it, right? This is a guy, the first ever draft pick, how it ended, having to release him, the emotions around that. They're never going to go with a guy that's not good enough to play. I'm not suggesting that, but, you know, if Hairston shows any kind of, you know, problem signs, then it's kind of easy to just go back to one of these other guys that have started for you in the past. And to your point, I think there's a world where Cole Bishop comes out and is really good and puts to bed any concern or worry and takes a jump into year two. I can definitely see that. But there's also, to your point, if the communication isn't there and him and Hairston are kind of both out there as kind of guys trying to figure it out, that's something that Bobby Babbage, I think Sean McDermott especially, probably won't have any patience for, especially knowing that in the front seven or front four, you're dealing with two guys, veterans, in Ogunjobi and Hoyt that won't be there for the first 6 weeks.
Right. Matt, thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate it, as always. Enjoy the rest of the summer baseball and the beat and whatever, and I hope we get to catch up soon, man.
Sounds good, man. Thanks a lot.
That is Matt Perino, co-host of the Fantastic Shout podcast, also on the Bills beat for Syracuse.com. We'll hit a pause and reload the conversation we only had for the first segment about what lit the fuse for you as a sports fan. Now be a great time to call. We're wide open for the rest of the afternoon. So, you know, have at it early and often. 803-0550 is the number. Who was the player at the flashpoint of your love of sports? Why do you listen to a show like this one? Can you share a story or two? We'd love to have it. Again, 803-0550 is the number. Mike is away today along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.